Pause for a moment. Adopted by God. If we have been adopted by God, we were somewhere else. And we're going to get to that. But the privileges of being adopted, phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Looking at the privileges being adopted by God. And we recognize in the natural, adoption is a wonderful thing. For most people, in any case, as we've mentioned before, last week, there are times that people have been adopted and it's been horrific. The adoptive parents abused and misused the folks. But in general, adoption is a wonderful experience for many that are orphaned in this world and in this life. In the biblical sense, adoption, or the sense of adoption, is the act of God whereby he legally accepts a repenting sinner. Now notice the context of this. It's an act of God. Adoption is God initiating it. It's God doing it. Whereby he legally accepts. So there's legality involved in the natural. There's legality involved. In the spiritual, there is legality involved as well. Because there had to be a price paid for the sinner. And the price was Jesus Christ. He legally accepts the repenting sinner and makes him a member of his universal family, acknowledging him as a son born in the family. And notice now, and giving him all the rights and privileges of a son or a daughter. Now, those are big words. In the theological term, in the theology sense of it, it's difficult to understand this whole thing. That this God that created the universe will adopt us into his family. And what that entails is limited to our knowledge. We only know what the word explains about the legality and the promises that God has made for those that are adopted into his family. For those not adopted into his family, that has not repented, they go to a lost eternity. Where you and I that have accepted Jesus Christ, being adopted into the family, man, your future is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. There's just no end to it when we are looking towards the life after this. In Romans 8, verse 15 and 23, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves, because we virtually are slaves to sin. Now that we've been adopted, we don't have this. Instead, you've received God's spirit. And where God's spirit is, there is something beautiful. Starts with the F. What do you think? Ah, quick. You guys are good. Freedom. Where God's spirit is, there is freedom. No God's spirit, slavery. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you. We turned to him. He adopted us. And now look what happens. As his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, or Father, Father in the original language. And we believers, that's you and I, as adopted people, people that have been born again, as adopted people, we groan. How many of you have been groaning this week? Not that type of groaning, you guys. We're talking about another groaning. Look at what it says. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. What is the future glory? In other words, we adopted into the family now. There's a present reality, but there's a future glory. So it's not complete. The completion will still come. But notice what it says. For we long for our what? Our bodies. To be released from sin and suffering. We're still in this world. So this body is part of this world. But the new body, no. There will be no sin and no suffering. Now notice what it says. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us what? And now that's the question. What are the full rights? What are the full rights? We have limited knowledge pertaining to that. But there's stuff out there once we get to God that we haven't heard of that we're going to experience. Give us our full rights. The full right we can start with completion. Spirit, soul, body. Now we are complete because of the adoption process. Prior to that, the regeneration process. Give us our full rights as His adopted children, including new bodies He's promised us. So, those bodies are perfect. I want us to look at John 1:12. But to all who believed, that's the process now. You believe, you repent, you ask Jesus to be your Savior. He forgives you of your sin, and then He gives you authority. He adopts you into His family. Look what it says. But to all who believed Him and accepted them, He gave the right to become children of God, adopted into His family. Phenomenal scriptures these are presented, that are presented to us. And the blessings of adoption are so numerous. We've dealt with them over the 2 weeks, a little bit last week, this week as well, just to recap some of them. At the time of adoption, one receives the parental care of a family. Look at that. We receive the family name. We are children of God, Christ-like. The family likeness. We receive the family spirit and power. The family character. We have a family inheritance. What do you think the inheritance is? I mean, we on earth, we kind of look forward to the inheritance. That mom and dad will leave us when they pass on. But is there an inheritance in heaven? What is the inheritance? Think about it. Everything that is His, what is His? What is everything? Explain. All that we know. Are there things we don't know? Yeah, and it's also ours. So I don't know about you, I can't wait to get to the next one. This is only a stepping stone, man. The family inheritance. Oh, the family supply. Oh my gosh. What is the family supply? Can God run out of stock? Like some of the food pantries? Can the ships be docked because COVID has shut everything down and now we can't get food? Nope. Oh, come on, let's go to Philippians 4:19. And with all His what? You think Elon Musk has got wealth? He's the first man to go over, what, $300 billion? $30 billion or trillion? I don't even know how much it is. And with all His abundant wealth through Christ Jesus, my God will supply all your needs. That's the privilege of being adopted, which we take for granted. And then we look at the family health. A promise made in 3 John 1 verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may do what? Prosper in every way. What does that mean? Look at me. Prosper in every way. Finances, this thing's got to prosper. I want you to know you need a big body. I know I heard this morning that 3/4 of America is obese, and that's why JFK is wanting us to get away from Doritos and Frosties. But a minister once said, I'm not going to lose weight. They said, but you're obese. He says, nope, I'm not going to lose weight at all. I serve a big God, and He needs a big temple. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way. And that your body may keep well. So we got to go healthy. Even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. So now we have the family health. The supply is there. The health is there. Look at the family home in John 14 verse 2 and 3. The family home. No, go back, Nicole. Thanks. Thank you. The family home and all the benefits of God for this life. Do you think there are benefits for us in this life as children of God? What are they? You want to name a few? Peace? Faith? Love? Forgiveness? Joy? The joy of the Lord? So the family home and all the benefits of God for this life and the life to come. So is it then correct that we are only pilgrims moving through? Sometimes we live as if this is our only life. We're so caught up in this life, not recognizing at times. No. Guys, this is short. We were just speaking. Your father's going to be 90 next year. 90 years old. We said, wow, that's a long time. But 90 compared to eternity is what? Absolutely nothing. So that's why it's a good investment to become a child of God as the life to come. Now we can go to John 40. Thanks, Nicole. In my Father's house, a scripture that is at times taken out of context, and we even sing part of that song over here. In my Father's house are many mansions. And there's that song, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. And we think this is some little mansion. We've got this wrong idea about heaven. It's not a little mansion. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. He's gone ahead and prepared so that we can have access to God through his blood. In my Father's house are many mansions. In other words, there's room enough for everybody that are born again. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare. And the preparation is his blood on the mercy seat so that we can enter heaven freely. Although now we are under no condemnation because of Jesus. But because we've accepted Christ, he's gone and prepared the way for us so that you and I can enter into heaven with no condemnation whatsoever. So looking at this portion of scripture as some of the benefits of being adopted, I want us to pause for a moment. We've got to look at, before I was adopted, what was I? A child of Satan? Remember what I said last week. Adoption is a positional thing, not a relationship thing. Or in relation to God. It's a positional, it's an appointment. It's a positional place in Scripture. So if we are in this positional place as adopted people, I want us please to backtrack and see what we were in comparison to what we are now in Christ. And the reason for that is it will give us a deeper understanding and a greater appreciation for being adopted into the family of God. Well, how do we go about that? Let me explain. According to the New Testament, all people are sinners by nature. Think about that for a moment. All people are sinners by nature. Doesn't matter our creed, our background, our color, where we are on the continent. We are sinners, born into this world as sinners by nature. Now the Bible goes further. And he says, because you and I are sinners by nature, it uses another term. We are children of wrath. Recipients of God's anger. Now, who wants to be a recipient of God's anger? When God's anger is revealed, is it devastating? Yes, it is. It's very devastating. And looking at the fact that we are children of wrath, we explain it, or it is explained in Ephesians 2 verse 3. Look at what it says. The corruption, the passion, you see passion? That's the passion translation. The corruption that was in us from where? So were you and I corrupted from birth? Yeah. We were born into the sinful nature. We had it. We have it. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed. How is it expressed? How is the corrupted nature? How does it express itself? Through deeds. The same way as the new nature that you have in Christ expresses itself through fruit. The old nature, the corrupted nature, expresses itself through deeds. The stuff that we do, the stuff that we say, was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever, notice this guys, natural, spiritual. If you are natural, you're under the wrath of God. When you accept Christ, spiritual, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Now notice what it says. We lived, referring to people that were not born again and now are born again or following God. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds did what? Dictated. Our thoughts and minds dictated how we're going to live. In other words, it's a corrupted nature. So what are the thoughts of the mind? Corrupt. Bad. But yet you and I know that in the midst of that, there seems to be a conscience. And now we get to the point in this day and age where it seems that many people's conscience are seared. They do the most ridiculous stuff. The killings that are going on, the murders. But notice, we were dictated by that, living as rebellious children. Subject to who? To God's wrath, like everyone else. We were there. Subject to God's wrath, like everyone else. Now, that's our position before we accepted Jesus Christ. When we accepted Jesus Christ, we've been born again, adopted. Our position changes as adopted into the family of God now. And now we find something very, very beautiful in 1 John 3 verse 1 and 2. See how very much our Father loves us now that we are adopted. Look at this. For He calls us His children. So I ask you this morning, who are you? I'm a child of God. I was under His wrath, but now I'm a follower of Christ. I've been adopted into His family, and He calls us His children. And notice what He said. And that is what we are. What are we? Children of God. But I thought you're born a child of God. No, no, no. You're born a sinner. But you can become a child of God through asking Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior. But the people who belong to this world, He's separating. You were of this world. You are no longer of this world. But now the people of the world, this world, don't recognize that we are what? God's children. Why not? Why not? They look at our behavior at times. They look at our communication at times. They look at our deeds at times, and they draw a conclusion. Well, you're not supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be a Christian, but look at what you're doing. No, no, no. We're not dealing with that. They do not recognize us as God's children because they don't know him. If they get to know him, what will happen? Then they will recognize that we are brothers and sisters because of the adoption. Or prior to that, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Dear friends, we are already God's children. And now comes that thing that you and I look forward to. Let me pause for a moment. Everything in the natural operates by sight, smell, hear. Everything pertaining to the supernatural operates by faith. So, although we're in the natural and we operate by sight, our emotions, our feelings, we want to see things. The Bible says no, we've got to operate by faith. And operating by faith is accepting Christ as our Savior. Operating by faith is recognizing that we've been adopted. And he says, but dear friends, we are already God's children, notice, but he has not done what? So when's he going to show us? I can just say Christmas is coming. But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. Have you got something to look forward to? Big time. Big time. But notice this though. But we do know. What do we know? We don't know what he's going to show us. But there's one thing we do know. And what do we know? We'll be like him. Yeah? So what? What does that mean? We'll be like him. For we will see him as he really is. Have people seen him as he really is, or has he only manifested of himself to people after the resurrection? He's only manifested certain things, but we've not seen him in all his glory. We've not seen him in all his power. We've not seen him in all his greatness. I think it's going to bomb our minds when we see him face to face, for we will see him as he really is. Now, although God's adopted children have the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as their fellow brother, we are not equal to him. And many people take the scripture and say, when we see him, we'll be like him. There's a huge difference between the only begotten Son and the adopted Son. The only begotten is not adopted. It's God became man. You and I are adopted. But what is so beautiful about this, although you and I are adopted, we're not equal to the only begotten. Why not? Because he's the only begotten. God became man. What's the difference? Man never becomes God. Man was a sinner but becomes a saint. So although we have Jesus Christ as the only begotten, it puts us in line as with the adoption that now that we are adopted, we are on the same plane or recipient of what he has, which means whatever belongs to him, I share with him as well. That means that you and I recognize that he is the head of the new covenant. He's the mediator. He's the guarantor. We are his brothers and sisters, and we are the beneficiaries of what he has done. We've done nothing. We're only beneficiaries, adopted into his family. And the beneficiary in this sense is we become heirs of God. And that's what the Bible says. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with our brother, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. So you've got the only begotten Son and you've got the adopted people. So the adopted people is not equal to the only begotten, but we are on the level of recipient. We are the beneficiaries. And that's what I love about this, because God makes us heirs and joint heirs with our brother Jesus Christ, Romans 8:17. And since we are his children, adopted, we will do what? Now we go to pause. What are his treasures? What are his treasures? I don't think you and I can even begin to understand that. And the whole purpose for this morning is to take you to another level in your thinking. Not a mere human being treading water on the face of this earth. You've got a name that's written down in glory land. You've got a father that owns everything. You are joint heir with Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. I've been adopted. I'm a beneficiary. So although we go through these trials and these difficulties and the suffering and the sickness and the disease, and we pray for healing, we pray for deliverance, there's coming a time when all this will be under our feet. There will be nothing. So notice, and since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For all God gives to the Son, the only begotten. Notice this. For all God gives to his Son, Jesus, the only begotten, is now ours, the adopted. Wow. Where's his position now? The right hand of the Father. We're at the right hand of the Father. But if, and yet comes this last part that we don't like much. We like to claim, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, fantastic. But if we are to share his glory, wow. So we're going to share. You see some of the treasures already? If we are to share his glory, we must also do what? So the next time we suffer, what must we do? I'll use my language. Shut up and get over it. Easier said than done. Not diminishing the severity of it. But folks, we must also share his suffering. And you and I are not immune to suffering on the face of this earth, nor was the only begotten Son. The only begotten Son suffered tremendously. But as he was suffering, he looked beyond. And can that be an encouragement to you and me? When we go through difficult times, challenging times, look beyond. God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Yes, we're going to make it. Because we've got a Heavenly Father that cares about us. We must also share his suffering. Oh, Psalm 84 verse 11 is so beautiful. For the Lord God is brighter than the brilliance of a sunrise. There's nothing more beautiful at times to watch either the sunrise or the sun setting. Wrapping himself, oh, look at this, guys. Wrapping himself around me like a, if he wraps himself around me like a shield, what am I afraid of? He is so generous with his gifts of grace and the gifts of glory. Those who walk along his path, and now there's the condition. Those who walk along his path with integrity will never do what? Why not? Why not? You're adopted. You're adopted into his family. Is he capable of taking care of his family? Yeah. Is it possible that we'll go through tough times? Absolutely. But you've got to recognize this. Those who walk along his path with integrity will never lack one thing they need. Why not? He provides. My God will provide. He also protects us. And this is a psalm that you and I have learned in our early years. Most of us, some are still learning them now. I know they're teaching that in the Sunday school, in the classes. I've heard them do that. Psalm 23, verse 4. And you and I am going to read it together, recognizing our position as adopted children. And here's the promise. Let's start. Even if I go through what? I will. Why not? Lord, for you are your shepherd's rod and staff. That's the privilege of being adopted. Ah, this is Old Testament. No. It's a promise. When you and I have been adopted into the family, there's care, there's supply, there's provision, there's guarantees. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, referring to a place in Jerusalem, the shadow of the valley of death. David was referring to that. I will not be afraid. Another word in the Hebrew, even if I go through the valley of death, even if I go through the valley of Gehenna, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect. Okay, how do you feel so far about that promise? Pretty good, right? Pretty good. Oh, the world's coming to an end. Ah, get over it. Oh, we don't know what's going to happen in the next several years. Get over it. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, whatever that darkness is, and folks, here are folks that have been through very deep valleys. Here are folks in our midst this morning that know what deepest darkness is all about. And you know what? They're still here serving God. They've been there. I will not be with that. They persevered through the hurts. They persevered through the agony. And they say, I will trust you. I will. They're here this morning. They're here. They've been here all along. I will not be afraid, for you are with me. I don't understand why this happened. I can't wrap my head around it. But one thing I know, you are with me. And your shepherd's rod and staff protects me. Oh, but what about, we just read this together. You want to read another good one together? Ah, let me give you another one. Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. Come on. You need to jot this down. You got to write it down as a memory verse. You got to keep it in your pocket. You got to keep it on your phone. Let's read it together. When you go through what? Deep waters and? What does he say? I will be with you. Let's go. When you? Rivers of difficulty. You will not. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burnt up. The flames will not consume you. Why? Come on. Don't you think you need to give him a great hand this morning? For the Lord your God, your Savior, is with you. So why fear? Why be despondent? Why I want to give up? Why? Why? Look at the promise God gives you and me as adopted children. Heirs of God. Co-heirs with the only begotten. We have got so much good. Yes, but sometimes it feels nice to get sympathy from people. Don't get into the habit of getting sympathy from people. Because then you rely on the sympathy. Rely on the Savior Jesus Christ. And He will take you through everything, no matter what. We know where we've come from. We were children of wrath. Now we are sons and daughters of the Almighty God. But there's something else, guys. There's something else. And I want us just to go through another 2-3 scriptures. I want us to meditate because there's a beautiful song, Raise a Hallelujah, that we're going to sing. I want us to look at Colossians 1:13 and 14. This is a powerful scripture, two verses in particular. Taking you back, remember we saw all the benefits of being adopted? Or not all of them, some of them that we covered this morning and last week and the previous week. Then we saw that we are children of wrath. But there's something greater than that. Something that you and I can shout about after we've gone through this. The Father, God the Father, has delivered. Look at the context of this. Look at how profound this is. The Father has delivered and drawn us where? Out of the control. So was I controlled? Yeah. Spiritually, I was controlled. I was not only controlled, I was part of a dominion. You see this? Let's put things in perspective so that you and I can understand where we've come from, where we are, and where we're going. Where I was a child of darkness. I was under the wrath or the anger of God. I was a recipient of that wrath. I was a recipient of the anger of God. The Almighty, only, righteous, holy God. But He has delivered and drawn me, you, to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness. Oh, wait, wait. Now there's a dominion. And then we find there's a kingdom. The dominion, the powers of darkness, Satan is the head of the dominion of darkness. But the dominion of darkness is also a kingdom. So you and I were where? In a kingdom that was ruled, is ruled by Satan himself. And notice this majestic transformation, this fantastic, phenomenal transformation. Drawn us to himself, out of the control and the dominion of darkness, has transferred. You know, like on your bank account, you transfer from one to another. He has transferred us into the kingdom. Notice the wording. He is not transferring. He has transferred. In other words, it's done already. Oh, I can't wait to get into the kingdom in the life hereafter. No, 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 no. When you become born again, you're in the kingdom now. Look at this. And has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son, the only begotten. The Son of His what? His love. This is my beloved Son, the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption, our born again. We've been bought. With what? With the blood of the only begotten Son. We have our redemption through his blood, which means what? The forgiveness of the sinful nature. That's why you and I have the privilege today to sing with confidence, I am free, free, free. Christ has set me free. I'm no longer under condemnation. I'm no longer under the control of the dominion of darkness. I'm no longer part of the kingdom of darkness. No. He has transferred me. He's taken me out. He's bought me. And that's what I love about the scripture. The translation into the kingdom is strictly local. It's not something to happen. It's local. It is here. It is now. The kingdom of the Son. It is an accomplished fact when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. We were transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And the end result will be the kingdom of light is eventually going to rule throughout all eternity. So that means you and I are part of a kingdom that never ends and eventually rules throughout all eternity. What a kingdom to be part of. And then lastly, we are family. Can you choose your family? Oh God, if only I could have. Nope. They come in all forms. They come in all shapes. They come in all. You've got black sheep, you've got white sheep, you've got in-between sheep, and then you've got goats. They're all part of this family, man. Well, I mean the church family too, but I mean you got that in your natural family. I don't know what's going to happen this Thanksgiving. In the political sense. Within the families. Get over it. We are family of God. I never chose you. You never chose me. You never chose. You stuck with us. Whether you like it or not. I'm stuck with you. Whether I like it or not. But we're family. Oh, and we can get on each other's nerves sometime, right? Yeah, we can get on each other's nerves sometime. Yeah, get over it. Just get over it, right? Nothing wrong with disagreements. Nothing wrong with a bit of shoulder bumping. Nothing wrong with having some great debate. That's part of family. But let me close with Ephesians 2, verse 19, 20, 21. So now, you what? Do you accept the fact that you're a Gentile? That you are a Gentile? We are all Gentiles. Only two groups. Jew, Gentile. Paul's speaking and he says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers because it was God's people. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. No. No. Since you've become followers of God, you're something else now. Since you've been redeemed, since you've been bought back, since you accepted the price that Jesus paid for you, you are no longer a stranger or a foreigner. You are what? But the citizenship of heaven also has walls. You can't just walk into heaven and say, I want to come in illegally. You can't do that. You can't do that. So walls work, my mate. Imagine that. You know what? I'm just going to show up at heaven's gate. And I'm just going to walk through. And I can expect them to give me a hotel, to give me food. Oh my gosh, I tell you what. Good luck. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens. Of what? Of heaven. So there's citizenship in heaven? Yeah. Is there citizenship in America? He's supposed to be. And it took us 7 years to become citizens. Eight, thanks. Don't forget the eight. Seven I thought was good. Eight is now bad. Now I'm angry. Supposed to be five. And they screwed up all our paperwork. And we had to start all over again. If only we waited until recently, we could have just walked in. You guys love me, right? You are citizens. Oh, I love this, guys. Come on. We are citizens with all of God's holy people. We are citizens along with. So who's God's holy people? Jews. And now we are. So as much as sometimes we want to go against the Jews, rather zip it. It's God's people. Correctly speaking, there should not be a Jewish nation. Correctly speaking, they should not be in existence today. If it is, has not been because of God. God has preserved them over all the generations with a promise that they will eventually bless the world. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are what? Aren't you glad? You are members of God's family. By golly, Miss Molly. Do I understand all this? No. It goes a little bit further. We are citizens. We are members of God's family. I want you to observe how it transgresses, how it unfolds. Together, we are what? Okay, so now we are citizens, part of God's family, together as adopted children. We are His house. And this house is built on the foundation of the apostles, the teachings of the apostles given to them through the power of the Holy Spirit and the prophets. And we're also part of the cornerstone. Who's the cornerstone? So notice this. We adopted people into the family of God have got citizenship, but we also have a house. And on top of it, we find that we're part of a cornerstone. This house has got a cornerstone, and the cornerstone is who? So if Christ is the cornerstone of the house, how stable is the house? I shall not be moved. You cannot, the piggy can come and the piggy can blow, but the piggy ain't going to blow this house down. Was it a wolf? Yes. What do I know? Shows you. Who? Oh, the piggy in the house? All right. It's way past my bedtime. Well, Don Wolf, blow. Piggy, you safe. And the cornerstone is Christ Himself. Piggy, you good. Wow, be careful. There could be bacon. We are carefully joined. We are carefully joined together. Look at the progression of this, guys. Ay, ay, ay. Nicole, let's go one slide back again, please. You Gentiles, me Gentile, we are no longer strangers. We are no longer foreigners. Okay? So what are we? You are citizens. Citizens. Along with all God's holy people. But you aren't only just citizens. You are also members of God's family. Okay, next one. Together we are His house. Now we're family, now we're house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And now the cornerstone is Christ himself, so the house is good. And now we are carefully joined together. Wow. We are joined together. To form what? The house. Not only are we joined together to form the house, but notice also futuristic. Becoming a what? Becoming. It's unfolding. Becoming a holy temple of the Lord. So if you and I can digest this all, I think it will help us to understand that we are in a very privileged position. Very privileged position. I am no longer under the wrath of God. For now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Wow. He's adopted me. He's adopted you. So let's live like adopted kids. Yeah, we throw our tantrums. We get the pigs and the wolves mixed up. But we're special. We can't pull our noses up and think we're better. No. We're just special. And everyone that comes into the kingdom of light is special. So we can look at each other from a different perspective and have a more appreciative spirit, be more appreciative as to who we are, filled with all our shortcomings, filled with all our weaknesses, but we're in the process of being a holy temple. Futuristic, that is phenomenal. Present, all my needs are supplied. But what about my body? What about this body that is ailing? It's okay. I know it's difficult at times for people that had total freedom in their body. Now they're restricted. It can be frustrating. But when you look past that, and you say, it's only for a season. And I've got to have a right attitude. Because I can concentrate on my shortcomings. Or would I rather concentrate on what I am becoming? Because this is something beautiful, guys. And I'm going to close with this. This body must go to the ground. Unless there's a rapture. But believe it or not, it's a seed being planted for a new body to come out. So this body's got to go. And if we can see it in that light, that death is not so bad. It hurts. But death is not so bad. Because it's a seed being planted for this new body. Because he will resurrect us. And there will be a beautiful body that this world has not seen, nor the other world. But we are part of a beautiful family called the family of God. I want to close with a slide that we started with. And we end the series. Adopted by God. He reached out to us. Adopted us. The privileges of being adopted does what? Boggles the mind. I'm a child of the living God. I've been adopted into the family with all the perks that go with it as we've laid out over the last 3 weeks. And the thing that still gets the better of me, I'm an heir of God. I'm a co-heir with the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He owns everything. As a matter of fact, the Bible says about my older brother. Who's my older brother? Jesus. You know what the Bible says about him? All things were created by him and for his own pleasure. And now I'm with him. I'm an heir with that too. I'm with him. All the things he made, it's his. And I love it. He says, all things were created by him and for his own pleasure. Man, what a mighty God we serve. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And then we look at each other. And yes, the greatest marvel of all creation. What? You. Me. The greatest marvel. Because we were created in his likeness. Oh, has God seen my wrinkles? Has God seen my gray hair? You're still a marvel. You're his handiwork. You're a miracle. A walking miracle. Created in his likeness and image. So for those of you that might have a low perception of yourself, get out of it. See who you are. A child of the living God. And God has got no rejects. What does David say? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who I am. That's who you are. And adopted by God because he